bye.
What'd you have? It's real good. Say real good for the glory of God. Step on that bear.
No.
On that bear with him. And mama will stand back there. Praise the Lord.
Every hope that I have here in this so sinful world is anchored in the love of a Lamb. Oh, the billows are raging and we're tossed to and fro. There is peace beneath that flow. When the time shall come to die, the treasures of this world will mean nothing. Oh, but for joy of knowing Jesus,
I'll guarantee it,
will banish all my fear. For he took away death's sting. My hope
is in the Lamb of God, there is no other fountain so sweet. It has washed away my sin, gave me peace and joy within. My hope is anchored in His blood.
Bible, let's open up to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. It's good to be saved tonight, ain't it? And I'm glad, as Miss Irene sang, I'm glad it is different now. And I wouldn't go back for all the money in all the world. I wouldn't even think about it. It ain't even a close trade. Amen. Don't y'all think that's right? What the Lord's done for us, it ain't even close. Amen. Bible says, truly, if they had been mindful of that country, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Says, but they desire a better country. Amen. That is a heavenly where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Luke chapter 2, very familiar text. I'll read just a little bit. And I'll try to give you what I feel like the Lord's laid on our hearts, starting in verse 41. Said, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. All they that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Heavenly Father, I bow my head before you one more time. And the Lord, we're thankful to be in the house of God. And Lord, I pray that tonight, that if this would be the last time, and God, we'd ever get to preach the word of God, I pray, help us, Lord, that it'd be the best time. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, to preach it like it's never been told before. And to God, I'd ask you that you'd just breathe on us one more time. I pray, God, that you'd anoint the message. And to God, I pray that you'd anoint these lips of clay. Father, I understand tonight, God, the frailty of our flesh, and God, understand the frailty of our mind. But God, I also understand that there is no frailty in you, and so we're not leaning to our own understanding, but on the all-sufficient arms of an all-knowing Christ. I pray tonight you'd help us one more time, and to thank you, Lord, for every time you have before. In Christ's name we humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, and most everybody, no doubt, again in here is very familiar with the entirety of this text. Luke's Gospel chapter 2 is frequented a lot, particularly around the Christmas hour and when we're coming in there. I want to just point out to you a few things, and I think we ought to be mindful of the fact that before we come to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, it's been a pretty desperate time in the world and in the nation of Israel, particularly until this time. But boy, thank God that right on time, here come the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about all these folks that had been waiting on him all of these years. I want to just point out to you this, and then I'll try to preach the message I feel like that the Lord laid on our heart. I want you to notice, first of all, the Bible says, as in chapter 2, verse 8, it said, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, and they was keeping watch over their flock by the night. I'll say this to you, the first thing we find is that there was some shepherds that were waiting, amen. And thank God, listen, it's a busy time of year for a shepherd right here, and they're in the middle of Passover, and there's a lot of folks that's looking for a lamb, and not just any lamb, thank God. But they're looking for a spotless lamb. And they're looking for something, amen, that they can bring up. And I got to thinking about this. I was reading, studying on this the other day, Dustin, and this is what it said. It said that them shepherds over there, particularly the ones that were in charge of the Passover lamb, it said that whenever they was getting ready to birth, that they would take swaddling clothes and they would lay them out there. Hey, you know why they do that? Boy, this struck my heart real good. And this is what it said. It said that they would have them a soft place to land. And because if it was a Passover lamb and it hit the ground and it got a blemish on it, it was no longer acceptable. And so the shepherds would stay under that, and they'd catch that lamb. And when it came out, they'd wrap that lamb in swaddling clothes. And it said when the Lord come to them that night, he said they'd been looking for a Passover lamb. And he said, there's yonder one over there, and it's wrapped up in swaddling clothes. And thank God, listen, and that might be lost on the Baptist. But them little old shepherd boys said, and that must be him, amen. It must be him. Oh, thank God, thank God. And there's a watching for the lamb, amen. And they found him, thank God. I believe them shepherds over there, and no doubt in my mind, would have said, thank God we've just been awaiting on God. and he's worth the waiting on, amen. And then I thought about this. And notice with me, if you will, in chapter 2, on down there in verse number 25, and the Bible says this, and said, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And the Bible says this. He said in verse number 29, he said, then Lord, now let us, thou servant, depart in peace according to thy word. He said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He said, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. He said, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Oh my, listen, friend. Can you imagine old Simeon day after day going into the temple? And no doubt when he walk in the room, and my friend go over to the table of showbread, and he would set that in order, and he'd say, boy, there's a day coming and that we're not going to need the showbread no more. And then he'd walk over to the other side, and he would light that old candlestick, and he'd say, boy, there's a day coming and that we're not going to have to light that candlestick, and go on back there to the altar of incense. Thank God, amen. And he'd start to burn that and say, boy, there's a day coming and that I'll not have to worry about that. And you understand that for the last 400 years, and there's nobody got a word from God, and no public word, Brother Talmer. And God's not spoke through a prophet. He's not spoke through a priest. But oh, Jesse, listen, I'm glad that even though he wasn't speaking to the whole nation, he made a special trip to Simeon's house, and the Holy Ghost said, hey, he said, you're not gonna die until you see the Lord's Christ, amen. Oh, listen, can't you just imagine the next day going into the temple, and somebody brought a little clay in there, and they said, here he is, 8 days old, and old Simeon gets a hold of that baby and said, is this healed? And the Holy Ghost says nothing. And the next day, the same thing. And the next day, the same thing. But then one day, a young couple comes in, and they only got 2 turtle doves. And they ain't even got enough for a right offering. They got 2 turtle doves in their hand, but a lamb in their arms. Amen. Praise God. Amen. They come walking into the temple. And when they walk in there, and the Holy Ghost said, that's him. That's him. Amen. Oh, listen, can't you just imagine? He was looking for the light, and he found the light. Amen. And now watch this. The Bible says, this one really caught on me, got to helping me. The next passage says this. Down in verse 36, it said, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and said, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years. And the Bible said, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Amen. I'd say, oh, Simeon said, thank God the light was worth waiting on. I'd say the shepherd boy said, the lamb was worth waiting on. Amen. But look here, this, David, this guy, help me. And this is what the Bible said. And she's married, I'm going to put an air turd. And she's married for 7 years, and she's been a widow for 84. That's 91 years. And the youngest she could have got married by Jewish tradition was 12 and a half years old. And here we see this lady come walking into town, about 103, amen. At least 103. Oh, my friend. And the Bible said that she's still worshiping God both day and night, amen. You know what, Brother Jones? She never did get over it. Amen. Hey,
Amen. I never got over the house of God. I never got over worshiping God. I never got tired of talking to God. As she's coming in that place. And boy, that helped me, Brother Delmer. And now here's what the Bible said. How the sudden she shows up in that place at the very instant that he comes in. I see this little old lady all hunched over and coming walking in the temple and looks over there and rears back, starts thanking God and said, there's the Lord, amen. And he's worth waiting on, amen. Oh, listen, this whole chapter is full of folks that's been waiting on the Lord, amen. And then we come to our text tonight, and here's what the Lord got dealing my heart about. And why is it that all the people who didn't have him had their waiting on him, but the folks who had him were not interested in waiting on him, amen? Ain't that a sight? I mean, here we have Joseph and Mary, and they've had him for 12 years, and they've been getting used to him, amen? Oh, listen, I was thinking about this, and no doubt, there's not a doubt in my mind. And the Bible says in this chapter that he was subject unto them. I'd say the Lord never gave them a bad look. Don't you guess that's right? And that somebody'd say, and maybe they'd come by and they'd say, you just wait till Jesus is a teenager, amen. And they'd say, oh no, and not that boy right there. And say, the only thing he's ever done, he's done what's right. I've never had a crossword with his mama. I've never left something undone. I've never said nothing negative to his brethren. I've never said nothing bad to his sister. And you say, preacher, you believe that? And with every fiber of my being, I believe he woke up perfect. I believe he lived all day perfect. I believe he went to bed perfect. I believe his mom and daddy laid in bed and said, we've got the perfect kid. And they're the only person that could have ever said that, amen. Oh, yes, amen. I believe they got used to it. And no doubt sometimes we've gotten used to folks. We've gotten used to having God. But I want to preach on this salt tonight. And I want y'all to listen real good. And thank God I'll give you just a few things. And thank God that he is worth waiting on. Y'all agree with that? And we'll find a few things in this text. And if we just wait on God, and sure enough, save us from a lot of things. Amen. I point out just a few. And then I'll be done. And notice the Bible says this in the verse number 44. It said, but they supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey. And notice in verse number 40 and verse 46 or whatever that number is. It said, it came to pass and that after 3 days, amen. I'll tell you this. I want y'all to listen to me and I want you to hear me real good. Thank God waiting on the Lord. Well, sure enough, save you a lot of time, amen. There's a lot of folks in our day always in a hurry, amen. Always, right here's one of them, amen. Always in a hurry. I wake up in a hurry. Listen, I preach in a hurry. I fellowship in a hurry. I talk in a hurry. If you ask my wife, I even sleep in a hurry. I'm saying this, I'm always in a hurry. And boy, listen, it's no different in spiritual things. Brother Matt, when I talk to the Lord, I'm going to want it done right then, ain't you? Amen. I know y'all ain't like that. That's just me. Amen. But oh, hear me today, friend. Here's what I found out in my own Christian walk. Far too many times I've started outpacing God. I'll start getting ahead of it and thank God wondering where he's at. And then I'll realize just how much time I've wasted trying to go without God. Amen. Oh, listen. And no doubt in my mind, it'd be far better for all of us tonight and just to wait on the Lord. Amen. And boy, now look here, friend. I'm talking about not just doing nothing, you understand? I'm talking about thank God waiting on God and watching and praying and thank God talking to God and serving God but still waiting on God to show up. Amen. Oh, listen, in our day, we've gotten tired of waiting on God and so we try to manufacture it. Amen. Oh, yes. I was talking with some folks the other day about a little old church back home and maybe hadn't had no pastor in a pretty good while. And they said, here's what we'll do. I said, we'll go down all this list of people. And I said, that'll work. Amen. You know what they ought to do, Brother Bill? And I told that fellow this. Hey, you know what they ought to do? Thank God. And get the little flock together and get down on their face before God and start asking the God of heaven to send them who they need. Amen. I found, look here, friend, and don't you guess God knows better for us than what we know for ourselves. Hey, you understand that my little list and my list of people I know is a real small list, but his list is mighty big. Amen. I'll tell you what he might do. He might bring a fella from Scott County and a pastor a place in Jamestown, and if you don't even know, amen, the Lord might do something that's a little different, that's outside of our book. And so we just wait on God. Amen. Oh yes, thank God. I got thinking about some folks that got in a hurry and they got to quit and waiting on God. I thought about old Jacob. I've told you this before. But if there's ever a story, I wanted to know how it would have turned out without man getting involved. That's the story of Jacob. Whenever Jacob was born, God had already told him. He said, the younger one will rule over the elder. Amen. And God already said that. I don't know what was in the mind of God, and we never will find out. You know why? Oh, Jacob got tired of waiting on God. Amen. He said, don't worry about this. I've got it. Amen. I've got this day. And his mama showed up. Oh, listen, dear friend. Everybody in here understands that. How that old Rebecca shows up, and that's his favorite. And she says, oh, we've got this thing. We never will know how God was going to do that till we get to heaven. He got tired of waiting on God. And you know what ended up happening? Instead of him having what God wanted him to have, when God wanted him to have it, he wasted the next 20 years of his life. Y'all listen to me right there. He got himself in a mess. Had to go down there and to the brothers and to Nahor and all the rest of that crowd. Had got down there and worked 7 years and found out it wasn't even the one he wanted. Amen. Boy, listen, thank God. That'd be a pretty bad deal. Amen. And then he worked 7 more years. And then he worked 6 more years. And I have no doubt in my mind how that God would have gave him better if he had just stayed right where he's at. Amen. Oh, listen, just wouldn't wait on God. And then we find right after him, he has a boy, and his boy is willing to wait on God. His name's Joseph. Ever heard of him? Amen. Anybody in here ever heard of Joseph? Thank God. Oh, you understand the story of Joseph. He gets stole when he's 13 years old, cast down to a pit, cast into Potiphar's house. Thank God, listen, friend, down in a prison. And 17 years later, thank God, he's up on the palace. You know what happened, Brother Matt? He just waited on God. Amen. I'll tell you what ended up happening in his life. I think best I understand, best I can calculate, I believe they was about, I don't know, there's 9 years, 7 years of a famine, 2 years when his brother came. So whatever all that math works out to be, about 22 years, something like that. Somebody do math a little faster than I can, help me out there. But here's what ends up happening. After all of that time, there was a promise made to him several years earlier. Thank God. He said, Lord, I don't know if you're ever going to bring it to pass. But he kept waiting on God. Amen. He waited on God when he was in the prison. He waited on God at Potiphar's house. He waited on God. Then all of a sudden one day, he's up in the palace. And you know what happens to his brethren? They come and they bow down just like God said they would. Amen. He just waited on God and found out this. If you wait on God, he'll save you some time. Amen. Amen. We got a lot of folks, thank God, they're not interested in waiting on God. And so you know what they do? They try to do it their own way. And then instead of getting anywhere with God, they find out the only thing they did was cost themselves a bunch of time. Watch your Bibles here. Stay with me. Amen. I hope this will help you. Here's what the next part says. In verse 44, they supposed him to have been in the company. They went a day's journey. If they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. If you'll wait on God, it'll save you a lot of time. If you'll wait on God, it'll save you a lot of trips too. Amen. Oh yes, listen to me, friend. I can't tell you how many folks in our day have said, boy, I'm just going to do it my own way. I'm going to go my own direction. I'll tell you what, it'll help you out. It'll help you just to stay where God wants you to stay and do what God would have you to do and just wait on God. Amen. And you say, listen, I think, Brother Chris, I think you're the person who told me this. As I'm preaching on it, I was talking to him one day about some things, and he said, this old preacher told him, he said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, the last marching orders you got from God, hey, you just march to them till he gives you more marching orders. And just stay right where you're at. And you say, I believe it's time to do this. I believe it's time to do that. And no, I'll tell you what you do. And when the good captain decides that it's time to move your post, he won't have to come by through signs. He won't speak through wonders. And the word of God will speak to our hearts. Amen. Just wait on him. Save you a lot of trips. Amen. A lot of trips. I can't tell you how many times you listen. You know, they started off there. And I remember whenever I first came here, been a pretty good while ago now, I don't even know exactly how long, but I remember one of the first stories anybody ever told me was about Kyle and Tammy leaving one of their kids out the Shell station. And they said, man, they got there, ain't that how that went? Best I remember. Maybe did ask them, maybe, I don't even remember which one it was, but they lost one of them and they just left them. Amen. And I thought, thank God, a mental note, they don't get to keep my kids. Amen. Amen. Thank God. And look here, I found this out. When you get a few kids, easy to lose some of them, amen. A little easier to lose them than what you think it would be. All of a sudden you ain't thinking about it, and they've done turned a corner, and they're gone. Obviously, I just lost two in the woods, amen. That's a little easier to do than what you'd think. I'm saying this to you, friend. If you're not just real careful, you'll get to making some trips, and you'll think God's with you. But I tell you, it'd be best just to stay right where you're at and to wait for the good God of heaven to come by your way and to make it known. Amen. I'll tell you what happens when you don't. You've got a story of it over there in Numbers chapter 13. There's a few of them. There's about 10 of them. And they stand up whenever God says it's time to go. They say, no, we don't think we'll go. Amen. They said, we'll just stay right where we're at. They said, have you seen them boys over there in Canaan land? The sons of Anak. They said, we are but grasshoppers in their sight. But I like old Caleb. The Bible said he had a different heart. He just stood up and stilled the people. He said, we be well able, amen, to possess it. He said, thank God, let's go up. And so they found out this. He said, look here, you can only go when God wants you to go. In Numbers 14, preacher, he said, we'll just go without him, amen. And you know what happened? Have they died, amen. Oh yes, thank God. But oh, hear me today. I'll tell you what'll happen. You try to go without God, you'll find yourself like the children of Israel. You'll be circling the same mountain. I mean, just going round around it, just over and over again. I said, I'm not sure why I ain't making no progress. I'm not sure why I'm not growing in my Christian life. I've got good news for you, friend. That's probably because you're trying to go without God. Amen. I just go back and get God. I'd go back and pray to God. I'd go back and wait on God. Amen. 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 You know what happened to him? I got to think about this. Because they wouldn't wait on God, they was hungry in the desert and thirsty in the desert when they could have been in the land flowing with milk and honey. Amen. Ain't that right? Deuteronomy chapter 1, I think it is, verse 2, or it might be chapter 2, verse 1. It'll be one of them two. It's one of them two verses. Will tell you that in order for them to get out of Egypt into Kadesh Barnea was an exactly an 11-day journey.
Yep.
Took them 40 years. You know what happened? Didn't wait on God. And so instead of being where God wanted them to be, enjoying what God wanted them to do, they had to wander around for 40 years. And boy, I thought about how many Christians that I've watched, even in my own life, that boy, instead of being right where God would have you to be, and enjoying everything he wants you to enjoy. We just go off on our own. Find ourselves, instead of being full, we're empty. Amen. Look here, you understand, they had to build them houses and booths everywhere they went. But God had prepared for them a city over there on Canaan's land. All they had to go in was possess it. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? Amen. I'm saying this, thank God, because they wasn't willing to wait on God. Instead of seeing and living in an abundant life, what they did was for the next 40 years, every day they buried somebody's carcass. All it was a land of death. I'm going to say this to you, and I want you to hear me. I want you to listen real close. You keep trying to go without God, I'll promise you there'll be some things that'll die in your life. It'll be some deserts, some dryness. You trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody else? That's usually what happens, ain't it, Teresa? That's what they did too. They said it's Moses' fault.
Yep, that's right.
It's Aaron's fault. It's God's fault.
Yep.
No. Kyle, you know what they did? Listen to me. This just struck a chord in my heart real loud. You know what God literally done for them? That 40 years, you know where that came from? You know, it wasn't just pulled out of the cloud. God didn't just say wander around for 40 years. You know where that came from? You know why they wandered in the desert and why their carcasses fell in the desert? You know why that was? That's what they asked for. Go back and read it. They said, would to God that we had died in the wilderness. And God said, okay. All right. Is that what you want? You want to die in the wilderness? Go die in the wilderness. He said, but there's two boys. Old Joshua and Caleb. He said, that's willing to go with me. And while everybody else is dying, I'm going to keep them as strong as they ever have been. Amen. Thank God. Amen. While everybody else, their carcasses is ancient, I find over there whenever Caleb steps in the land, over 80 years old, and they say, how you doing? He said, I'm as strong this day as I was 40 years ago. Amen. That boy ain't it something. And then whenever old Caleb started waxing old, instead of hunching over and look at him and say, he's the strongest man here, I'm telling you, it pays to wait on God. Amen. Save you a lot of time to wait on him. Save you a lot of trips to wait on him. I'm going to give you this. I'll be done. Watch your Bibles. That's one of the ones the Lord really got dealing my heart with. And I hope everybody will hear me real loudly. The Bible says in verse number 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And they said, and his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. I'll tell you what'll happen if you'll wait on the Lord. He'll save you from a lot of tears. I want everybody to listen to me real good right here, will you? I mean, we find right here they wasn't willing to wait on God. And as a result of that, they spent 3 days sorrowing, weeping, trying to find out where he was. There's much to be said about that. I want to go on record as saying this. If you'll wait on God, he'll save you from some tears. There's a lot. Now listen, don't nobody get real nervous, but I am. I've got young folks in here, and I'm going to tell you this. There's two great decisions you'll make in your life. One of them will be to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and the second one will be when you get married. Amen. Now I want y'all to listen to me. Y'all listening real good? All my youngins listening real good right here. This ain't nothing I don't tell my boys just all the time. You know what will happen if you ain't real careful? The devil will send you somebody. Young ladies, probably be handsome. Young men, probably be pretty. I'll tell you what you better do. You better wait on the Lord. You say, Brother Kevin, how will I know? You don't reckon somebody as big as God. You don't reckon somebody as big as God can't come down and say, that's her. Or that's him. You don't reckon somebody as big as God can get them to you? You don't have to find them on a dating website. I don't get nervous on me right there. If that's where you're at, I ain't preaching necessarily against you. I'm just simply saying this. Hey, there's a lot of things folks do today that you don't necessarily got to do. I tell you, young ladies, you know where you ought to find your husband? Right here. Young men, you know where you ought to find? Not at the Cotton Eye Joe. Somebody help me. Amen. I don't want to get mean right there. Boy, I can real easy, and I'm not trying to. But you know where my boys need to find their wives?
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I don't know how many times you've heard me say this. Here's how you find your spouse if you're a born-again believer. Y'all listening? Look to the right. Look to the left. Whoever's going after God at the same pace you are, pretty good person. Amen? If you got to reach way back in the bar and pull them out, may not be the person. Amen. I'll tell you, if you'll wait on God, what God might do, He might move a Tennessee boy down to Birmingham, Alabama, and move a North Carolina girl to the same place to find each other. Amen. And I'll tell you this, 20 years later, happier now than I've ever been in my whole life. Amen. Y'all listen to me. You pick the wrong spouse by not waiting on God, you'll shipwreck the rest of your life. Y'all all right right there? I wish I had some adults that said amen a little more on that one. Amen. Listen, you pick the wrong career. I was talking to a person not too long ago, and they said, man, I can make almost twice the money, but I'd have to start working on Sundays. I said, you'll be better off to make half the money. I'm going to make some parents mad, but I got liberty to say it, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to move on. Some of you, so just being on your kids working, that you'll let them work and go to work every Wednesday and every Sunday. It'd be far better for you to pay them to come to the house of God.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. Just go ahead and give them twice as much to be right here.
Hey.
Which one you reckon's better, $10 an hour at the Dairy Queen or sitting right here among the houses? Where you think? Which one you think will benefit them the most in the long run? All right. Well, wasn't trying to kill the meat, but I'm going to say this. I want y'all to listen to me real good. We've got two examples, and I'm going to be done preaching. But I want y'all to listen to these two examples. Two men back to back. One wasn't willing to wait on God. One was. First one's King Saul. Oh, Saul said, you know what? He said, it's time to sacrifice. Samuel told me he'd be here in 7 days. 7 days is over and everybody's leaving me. He said, I believe I'll just force myself. That's what he uses, but that's a lie. There wasn't no forcing. It was in his heart. You know, he done rot. He went up there and he sacrificed. You know why he made that decision? It was a decision not based on God, but on the people. Are y'all listening? I want y'all to hear me very carefully. He was more concerned about who was leaving than God staying. Amen. If y'all leave, don't get hurt at me. I promise you, I'm not trying to. I don't want nobody to leave. I want everybody to get on board and go after God. But if we all leave, Kevin included, y'all don't need me. Look here. If tomorrow's my last day, come Sunday, you know what'll happen? Somebody will stand right in this pulpit and they'll preach the gospel and they'll keep going like it's always went. God don't need me. But we do need Him in this place. So old Saul, he said, I'm not waiting on God. And Samuel comes up and he says, listen, God's rejected you. He said, He's looking for somebody after His own heart. And he found him. Little old shepherd boy over here. Now, listen to me. I'm done preaching, but y'all just stay with me for two more minutes. Will you do that? What we find is this. David was anointed king by God. He is appointed king by God. He's anointed king by Samuel. He was accepted as king by everybody around him. He was even antagonized or advised or however you want to say it. Whenever old Saul's down in the cave, all his men say, this is the chance. Yeah. Kill him. God's delivered him.
Yeah.
Old Saul said, no, I'm not going to touch him. He cut his skirt, and the Bible said as soon as he cut his skirt, it smote him in his heart. That's chapter 24, 1 Samuel, I think. Chapter 26, he's got another opportunity. A deep sleep falls on them all. Go down there, three men go. They say, let us, and we'll smite him to the ground. He said, oh, no.
Hey.
Chapter 27, verse 1, this is what he said. He said, I have little doubt that I'm going to die at the hands of Saul. But he would rather die by the hands of Saul than to put his hands on who God's man was at that time. And he just kept waiting. He waited when it looked like he was going to die. He waited when it was uncomfortable. I can't think of anybody who waited any longer in any more uncomfortable situation than what David did. And he wasn't just waiting. He was waiting while he knew he was God's man. God told him. He's still just waiting. He waited. Y'all know the story. Eventually Saul dies. David's on the throne. I'm going to say this. I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to turn there with me, and I'm going to be done. 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Here's the question for the whole church. This God's worth waiting on. I thank everybody, and I hope you know that. But I want you to watch the difference in this. 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is what I got to notice, Brother Chris. And this is what I notice in your Bible. Watch what it says. It said, these are the last words of David, the son of Jesse, and the man who was raised up on high. Listen to me. Saul, Amy, did not wait on the Lord. He died low. David waited. He died way up high. Y'all listen real good? Watch what your Bible says on after that. He says, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. You know how, listen to me. You know how Saul died? He died bitter. You know how David died? You know what that said? I want y'all to listen to me. The difference between a bitter life and a sweet life is the difference between waiting on God and not waiting on Him. He died, Saul died without God. Now I want you to listen. Somebody help me in here. Anybody in this room got any doubt that David was saved? Raise your hand. Anybody? Y'all feel like David's in heaven right now? Y'all got any doubts that David's in heaven right now? Let me ask you this. How many of you at least wonder if Saul was saved? He may be there, I don't know. Maybe in hell, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, because he didn't wait on God when it came time for him to die, nobody knows where he stands with God. His whole life is his own way to the point nobody knows. Question simply this, God's worth waiting on. I usually try to preach a big shotgun, just try to hit a little bit of everything. I have little doubt in my mind preparing for the message, but just dealing with probably a few folks tonight. I don't know your heart. I don't even know who you are. I'm not that spiritual. But I want you to listen to me. I want y'all to hear me. Wait on the Lord. Let me give you one more verse. Stand to your feet. Brother Donnie, come. Allison, come.